Welcome to today's fellowship-wide call on public information, representative training, new projects, gathering insights on reaching out to the debtors who still suffer. It is presented by the World Service Conference Public Information Committee. My name is Maya. I'm a debtor from Alameda, California, in the U.S. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
The wisdom to know the difference.
Our call today will include four speakers who will be recorded for a podcast, which will be able to be found on debtorsanonymous.org, a website under Fellowship Services, then Fellowship Podcast, within a few days. After the speakers, we will stop recording the call entirely for a question and answer period. Anyone asking a question will not be recorded. All callers have been placed on mute again. So just as a reminder, star 6 is what you want to punch in to unmute, only if you are participating in the call as a speaker or during the question and answer period. So all speakers will have 15 minutes with a 3-minute warning from me. I will keep time. And I'll just go ahead and welcome our first speaker here. That would be Matt.
Excuse me, can you say your name?
ISR. Oh, of course. I'm Maya, and I'm a grateful debtor from Alameda, California. So our first speaker will be Matt. He's an ISR from Northwest DA in Seattle, and he'll be speaking on the topic From Calamity to Serenity, a worldwide call with speakers and PRGs. Matt, welcome to the call. You may begin. And just remember, Matt, to press star 6.
My name's Matt. I'm a debtor from Seattle, Washington. And I'm the intergroup.
Hey, Matt, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm the intergroup service rep for Northwest Intergroup in Seattle, and we cover the Northwest region of the country in the USA. So I'm going to share with you this morning about a workshop that we did, an outreach workshop. The title was Meeting Calamity with Serenity, and it was a vision of a DA member, Melissa D. from Whidbey Island in Washington State, and it was an amazing experience as I saw people show up for this community like I never had before. Just to go over it really briefly, it was quite a process, and we actually had met as a committee 1 week before we put the workshop up on the internet through the Zoom online check-in. And so the amazing part to me was that being led by higher power, we had volunteers show up as registration coordinators, people who were reading material, people contacting speakers. We had two speakers during the workshop, and our first the first workshop was going to be just a pilot and a sort of a practice, if you will. And it occurred on Sunday, April 5th. So we got it together in 1 week with a format, with two speakers, and we had a registration person who took registration for DA members to join the workshop. And they the main focus of the workshop was to give emergency PRGs to people who are in underserved areas, people who had lost family members or lost their jobs, needed financial encouragement through PRGs, helping the homeless, helping people who didn't have food, just the basic fundamental essentials during the COVID-19 crisis. Again, this was a vision of one member, and it went all the way through to a workshop that 62 people signed up for and registered for, and 47 people showed up on the Zoom call. And we went through a format, and we had the two speakers and sort of an explanation of what DA was offering to newcomers. And I think we had 7 newcomers on the call that either just heard of DA, a couple of never heard of DA, but they were looking for help. And so the incredible part of this was that even though there were some things we had to work out during the meeting, we just kept moving forward with it and moving forward with it. And in the registration, there was either you receive a PRG or you give a PRG, and there was actually too many people that needed PRGs, so we actually got people to come into the call to help us with the people who needed PRGs. And it was amazing how this community showed up and how higher power guided us through this whole process of reaching out to people that really need help and that really need to get some relief from this crisis. And then we had our second workshop 2 weeks later, and I feel like this was a, if you will, a public information outreach coup that could, it actually was sent out internationally. We had people calling in from Paris, we had people calling in from Germany, we had people, one woman calling in from Australia. And it was just, it was incredible the response that we got from this. So I was thinking of a vision of modifying the format to have this PRG outreach call to people in underserved areas and people of color and people in the LGBTQ as well that need DA's support. And I don't know what that looks like yet, like if we did a once-a-month call to facilitate this for newcomers or for people who need help. But this was specific for the COVID-19, and I feel like it was an amazing experience, and that's what I experienced. And the second week workshop, we had, I think we had 28 or 30 people in the workshop, and it actually went much smoother because we knew exactly what we needed to do to, you know, eliminate the glitches in the, you know, putting the Zoom rooms together with 3 people. And it was an amazing experience, and I hope that as I join the Public Information Committee at the World Service Conference, that we can bring this to the board and either have it conference approved or do something with this experience, because it was amazing. It was just amazing. And also I want to add to this, as a result of this crisis, people, it's unprecedented the amount of people that are Zooming in on meetings now. And we had, last week we had our intergroup meeting up here in Seattle. We had 19 DA members at that meeting. And that's the most we've ever had. I don't know what other folks in other areas of the country are experiencing, but, you know, this crisis has really turned into an amazing experience for the DA community. Anyway, and just to get current on our intergroup here in Seattle in the Northwest region, we've had Susan G. join us. She's been our ISR, and then she came in to be the public information chair, and that's the first time we've had a public information chair in 5 years. We had a tough go of it a couple of years ago, but the intergroup has really turned around here, and there's been just some recovery has just taken hold in this area, and we're getting a lot of newcomers, and the intergroup has a lot more participation, and I am just grateful to be a part of this community and to be in recovery in DA. I've been in DA for 22 years, and it's completely changed my life, and I'm grateful to show up and be of service, and I'm very, very excited about this public information outreach committee and the work that they're doing. So I think that I'll wrap it up with that, and I'll be on the call for any questions anybody has after the rest of the speakers. Again, my name is Matt. I'm a recovering debtor from Seattle, Washington, and I'm grateful to be on this call. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, for your experience, strength, and help. That's awesome. I'll bring up our second speaker. It's Ross, a GSR from Eugene, Oregon. And Ross will be speaking today on experience doing public information for the first time. Ross, welcome to the call. And you may begin.
Thank you.
Just double check with us here that we can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you. Perfect. Thank you. Great. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Ross, and I'm a grateful member of DA. My home group is Life After Debt in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you to everyone who made this call possible and to everyone who's listening in, and especially to Debtors Anonymous. Well, as a GSR for the first time this past year, I've been a member of the Public Information Committee. Personally, I'm not one of those people who's fond of working on committees, mainly because I'm a loner, but also because I can easily fall into the trap of thinking others are more capable and competent than me. Well, here I am because my higher power had other plans for me. Now, after almost a year being on the PAI committee, I am so grateful I joined. I have met such wonderful people on this committee, a dedicated group of members who do a great deal of service. As my higher power had planned all along, because I joined the Public Information Committee, I have gained a better understanding of DA public service work, and I'm feeling very excited and confident about being a PI rep and sharing what I've learned. The public information rep is such an important service position. It is a link between the program of recovery and those desperately in need of it. Some of the work is simple and straightforward, like posting flyers on bulletin boards in the community or handing out DA business cards when the time is right, and sometimes for a simple thing to do is when I'm in another fellowship, because I'm in a few other fellowships, is just to mention that I'm in the money program, or if I hear someone share that they're struggling, I can speak to them about DA and where the meeting is in the local community. And then there is the service work that requires more skill and effort, like reaching out to the helping professionals with letters, contacting radio stations about public service announcements and speaking at various groups in the community who are interested in knowing more about DA. As a link between DA and the public, I also need to be comfortable with not having complete anonymity. You know, I have to hand out my phone numbers as a contact to any public person I reach, and but it is my responsibility to protect the anonymity of all DA members, and especially the new members. The public these days is inundated with information. That is why when I'm in a position to speak about DA, it is important to keep it simple, to share my story in a general way in order to convey that I had problems with money and had found the solution in Debtors Anonymous. And the two essential pieces of literature that gave me all the information I needed and supported me in my service were the Public Information Manual and the Public Information Starter Kit. The Public Information Manual contains everything I needed to know about being a rep and to support, guide, and give me all the resources I needed to fulfill these the activities I mentioned earlier. And then the Public Information Starter Kit, which it states is the purpose of the Starter Kit is to demystify public information service and to bring simple tools that help all members take action. And both are downloaded. You can download each one on the DA website and have them at the meeting so that other members can look at them and check out what to do as a public information service. The two traditions that guided me in my service work were tradition 5 and 11. And tradition 5 states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the debtor who still suffers. And I want to say, from the minute when I walked into the rooms at DA, I knew I belonged. You know, I would go, how do these people know so much about me? How can there be so many people with different backgrounds saying exactly how I felt about my never-ending money issues and finding a way out of hopelessness? Entering the rooms of DA, I was shameful and embarrassed about my debt. I tried debt relief programs outside of the 12 steps, but I never tried the spiritual program of the 12 steps that addressed my fears, shame, and hopelessness. I felt immediate relief when I heard members share. The members talked about clarity and serenity as a result from using the DA tools and working the 12 steps in a way I had never heard anywhere. The meetings and the fellowship helped me come out of hiding and not feel so alone. And now, as a recovering member in DA, I try to remember Tradition 5 and to carry the DA message at the group level in sharing my personal strength and hope to the newcomer who walks in the rooms or enters a Zoom meeting. Tradition 11 states, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. Then DA changed my life. It would be easy for me to be overzealous in sharing the program. This is why I need to remember my. That is why I need to be reminded of the Tradition 11. My service as a PI information rep is simply that, to dispel DA information to the public, the who, what, when, where, and why of it. I am not here to sell or promote anything. Attraction comes when the still suffering debtor finds something that reaches her, that keeps her or him coming back. I never know what that might be, but as long as I make myself available to do service and to get the information out there to those who need it, they'll come when they're ready. And as I say, I just do the footwork and my higher power does the rest. As a PI rep, it was important for me to ask other members to help get the DA information out into the community. It can be hard to keep your energy up when you're doing PI work and activities solo. I found that when I asked others for help, they were happy to lend a hand. The biggest motivator for me to move out of my comfort zone and posting flyers and contacting professionals and leaving brochures or in waiting rooms or calling radio stations, is the thought that there are debtors just like me out there needing the kind of help only DA can provide. God knows I tried everything else. And finally, I just want to say that, speak about the spirit, the 12th step, and having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and practice these principles in all our affairs. Debtors Anonymous has given me insight and understanding into what it means to be a debtor. In working the steps in DA and using the tools and practicing the principles in all my affairs, I found clarity and serenity with my finances and my life. After years of struggling, I did not think that that was possible. Because I have had a spiritual awakening as the result of the 12th step, I want to carry this message to as many still suffering debtors as I'm able. There are so many of us out there. Thank you for listening and letting me share. I'm glad I could be on the call.
Hi, Voss. Thanks so much for that, for your experience, strength, and hope on sharing that with us today. Our third speaker is Susan, the Public Information Chair from Northwest Intergroup in Seattle. Susan will be speaking today on public information outreach focus group, DA members of color, and the LGBTQ community, as well as Latinx, to increase outreach to diverse community members. Susan, welcome to the call. You may begin. Just make sure that we can hear you, please.
Hello, this is Susan. Can you hear me?
Hey, Susan. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to be on this committee and share an experience that we had in the Northwest DA Intergroup as part of our mission to reach out to the debtors who still suffer. We decided to have a DA focus group to get ideas from members of color and the LGBTX queer communities. This was on February 29th, pre-pandemic. The theme being how to increase outreach to diverse community members who would like to know more about DA. I'm going to explain a little bit about focus groups if people are not familiar with them. They are set up differently than meetings. The purpose of a focus group is to listen to the members of these communities speak and not to have any input, ask any questions, do anything to interrupt the flow of what they have to say. We had five members who came to represent their views. We set three tables up in a horseshoe shape for the members of the focus group to sit. The other DA's attendees sat in chairs facing them in an audience setup. It was a small group. Our intergroup vice chair from the audience started out by giving a summary of the DA safety survey, which was conducted in Northwest DA with 72 members responding. This was around the time that the World Service Conference came out with a safety statement, but we had done this prior. And the information that they got from that safety study gave us a lot of context for our focus group. Starting with the Serenity Prayer, we thank people for coming and set up a large tablet to write down what people had to say. Please understand no one but the focus group talks during the time. The others present just listen to what they have to say. Although it was a small group, the meeting lasted 2.5 hours with one short break. We used these two questions suggested by a member of the focus group to start people talking. One, why does the message of DA not seem to be reaching or attracting underrepresented communities in the first place. The second question was, why diverse people who come to DA may keep coming back at a lower rate? I have to say that the discussion, the information presented, and the atmosphere of this focal group was astounding and totally informative. Here's a part of the summary of what we learned. Some people in the LGBTQ queer community might like to be invited to share their pronouns when they speak. Let me repeat that. Some people in the LGBTQ queer community might like to be invited to share their pronouns when they speak. Number two, the attraction of visions in the meetings can be inspirational, as it talks about ideas that are not necessarily based on money. It helps to give people a purpose and meaning for their life. Number three, suggestion that we have a process, reflection, and program on whiteness that could influence our approach to diverse communities. Number four, how do we address vibes such as classism, elitism, etc.? Number six, what's our culture with newcomers? Is it experience, strength, and hope, spiritual, versus spending plan, PRGs, and tools? And the last one that I chose to take as part of the summary is reestablishing greeters for newcomers, more first-step meetings, giving out literature, temporary sponsors, someone staying after the meeting to talk to the newcomers. What I've just shared with you is just a part of the things that we learned. There were many other, there was a lot of other information that came out, but I wasn't sure how much time I would have, so I chose some different things. Here are some action steps that we came up with as a result of having this focus group. Training on whiteness, assumptions, and awareness, and implicit bias. And currently, we are formulating a training session on implicit bias, looking at articles from the Huffington Post and survey material from a Harvard study. And we're also looking at incorporating some of these new ideas into our meeting format. Another action step, identifying our protein. I'm sorry, I say proteins. I'm a former nutritionist, so I see the PRO, and it just comes out as proteins. So let me say it again. Identifying our pronouns. Another action, greeters to newcomers and newcomers' meetings. Format changes. Looking at language, more telling of our stories and increasing identification, meetings in more places where people of color and LGBTQ people gather and live, having panels at places where people are already having events and organizing with them, showing up and continuing to support disparate groups we would like to have know about DA. I have more information than what I've stated here, and if anybody would like to get in touch with me to find out more information about our focus group or the safety study, you can contact me at pi@northwestda.org. That's pi@northwestda.org. And I will be on the call after the last speaker and happy to take questions from the audience. Thank you for allowing me to share this experience for DA with you.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate your experience, strength, and help as well. Our fourth speaker is Jerry, a public information WSC member from Colorado. And Jerry will be speaking today on what has worked for her reaching out to the debtor who still suffers. Jerry, you may start at any point. Just please make sure we can hear you.
Hi, everyone. It's Jerry, recovering debtor.
Thank you. Hi, Jerry.
All right. Welcome. And first of all, I want to say I'm very grateful to be a member of this program and living in a spiritual solution. There's so many thoughts and feelings going through my mind right now. I read up on membership and other 12-step programs, and I have heard that addiction comes in pairs with one despair. And by numbers accumulated, the projected number of AA membership has now reached 2 million. In contrast, another sister program of ours, Overeaters Anonymous, is up to 60,000. And by our best, most recent count, DA stands at 5,000 members. There's a lot of people, myself included. I didn't know I was a debtor. And so the service work that I encourage people to do is one that attracted me to the program. I was saying how I believe I wanted to borrow money from someone, and she was in another 12-step program, and she encouraged me to come to DA. And so public information is near and dear to my heart because I didn't know that I was a debtor. When I learned that my behavior was debting, I started to have a shift around it. So a great potential for attracting other members, which was mentioned earlier, is other 12-step programs. When I'm in other 12-step meetings, if they allow announcements not related to the addiction that I'm addressing, I have sometimes said things to the effect of, if you find that you have more money than months, you might be interested in the money program. Feel free to hang around after the meeting and I'll be happy to talk to you. Going out into the community before COVID, I would go into libraries and post questions and symptoms of being a debtor. I would get permission and then I would post it on their board and I would provide business cards with the DA website on them. Now with COVID going on, when I go into a grocery store or if I do conscientious shopping, say at a pet store or a big box store, I will take along Debtors Anonymous cards, and I will drop them. I don't know who's going to pick it up. I don't know who I've been able to reach by doing that. Another thing, I have gone into check cashing places. When people become crunched on money, it's not uncommon that they believe a loan or getting additional money will solve their problems. So I have availed myself in those areas. One thing that seems to be in common, the Colorado group was able to host a information booth 2 years ago at an ongoing therapist conference. We paid for that table, and DA subsidized the expense of that. Nothing, of course, came out of our pockets, per se, of the people serving down there. We sat at that table, and there were frequently people would walk by the table And we're not aware that there's a 12-step solution to money problems. And so that was a reach out. As God would see fit, we were seated. Our table was adjacent to one that dealt with mental health. And we started to see a commonality in talking to members from that table or people visiting that table, that sometimes people that experience mental health will go on spending binges based on their mania. And so we let that table know that when people came in or when significant others felt like they were trying to take control of the finances, that DA could provide a spiritual solution. There is a fine line between the promoting and attracting. And sometimes one-on-one, I'll speak with members that I know from other 12-step programs. And if I know that they are sponsoring people, I will say to them, if your sponsee continues to make financial amends to credit card companies or default on their college loan, et cetera, you may want to let them know that there is Debtors Anonymous out there. Word of mouth seems to be a good way to carry the message. And it is said in another program that I may be the only big book some people see. In the same vein, I may be the face of DA that people see. I remember applying for a job last year and saying, I just want a gardening job because I'm retired and I like to do things with my spare time. And I recall the gal saying to me, you're retired, I'll never be retired. And instead of taking that as an opportunity to discuss with her, you know, maybe I wouldn't have needed to open up my hand and say, oh, well, let me tell you about Debtors Anonymous. However, saying, well, let's talk about that sometime and I'll share my experience around that. Another venue that worked out, again, going back to the mental health, was I was invited, along with a couple other members, to go down to Pueblo and sit at a booth, and this time it did not cost us anything. And the focus of that booth was mental illness. So there were a lot of tables about availability for help with people suffering from mental illness. And again, there was an AA recovery booth as well as our table, and we exchanged information, and it was very well received. In fact, at the time, we were offered an opportunity to network with a meeting place for face-to-face in a location that we didn't have meetings. Now, of course, there's Zoom. I like to say, again, that I am the face of DA, and I stress that when I'm talking or making announcements, there may be a perception that, oh, I don't serve at the world, oh, I don't serve at intergroup. When I feel a nudge to share with people, usually that's my higher power coming through my intuition. And, of course, this reminds me something similar to what John F. Kennedy said, but if not you, who is going to carry the message? I made it into this program because somebody let me know about it, and it's imperative that I give away my recovery so that I can keep what's been so generously given to me. I also think that there's opportunities to reach out, whether it's one-to-one when I'm getting my hair cut, just looking for the ways that I can insert myself and having that awareness and then recognizing the opportunity when it comes about. I like what was shared before, that if I continue to show up, God brings the circumstances together. And I'll close with the God shot that I got was when I and another member were at the booth in Pueblo. A person from AA recognized me and came over to the table, and he said he remembered I would make announcements at the AA meetings about DA. And I remembered him, and I asked for his phone number, which incidentally I ended up having programmed on my phone. In passing, I asked him, "What do you do now that you've moved out of Denver?" And he said he worked at a radio station. And I said, "Can I call you? We want to get a public service announcement on the radio, and I'd like to talk to you about who I reach out to help facilitate that." And he looked at me and he said, "I'm the person you talk to." And since then, I've reached out to him, and the radio has been playing the public service announcement in the 30-second clip. I never know how God's going to show up. I get to do the footwork and leave the results up to my higher power. I'm just so grateful that I found DA. I'm grateful that there's a spiritual solution. I'm grateful that it's about more than my relationship with my numbers. It's about how I feel towards myself and my self-care. And I'm very blessed to have made it into a program that has saved my life and changed my life. And I'll stay on the call after the questions or after the speakers are done speaking so that I can take additional questions. And with that, I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry, for your experience, strength, and hope as well. Much appreciated. Thank you to all of our speakers today. And we will now end the recording for our question and answer period. Anyone asking